Welcome to another episode of Men Are the Prize, the podcast. It is I, your host, Harvey. What's up? How is the week? How's the day treating you? I hope you're treating it as it needs to be. If it's kicking your butt, kick it back. If you're treating you well, enjoy it. Bask in it. I hope you're doing well. Another great episode coming. I have another great guest. Before I bring him in, let's talk. As men, there's something that a lot of us men, and as of right now, I'm not one of them, and I don't expect to ever have to deal with it. And that's hopefully that's just real thinking. But there's something that a lot of married men, more than half of us, end up dealing with in life, and that is divorce. We get married. We think we found the love of our life, the person we are going to live our lives with, raise children with, you know, grow old with, eventually die with, all this. And sadly, in most cases, that person isn't the one. In a lot of cases, we move on. We have and in a lot of cases, it's a messy, dirty divorce. Who gets the money? Who gets the kids? Who gets the cars? Who gets the 401ks? All this crap that we go through. Marriage is hard enough. The only thing worse is getting away from it or leaving it. I'm a child of divorce. So I'm 49. When my parents got divorced, I was 10. So that's 39 years ago. And I was in court. I got to see it. And it's not pretty when it's just the two of them. Stick a child in there and it's even worse. But it's something we all have to deal with. A lot of us have to deal with. And it's something that we have to work past. And that's really what I'm getting at here. I've spoken a lot about men's mental health. And there's a lot that's talked about suicide and a lot of issues we deal with, but there's rarely any talk about what a man's supposed to do afterwards. There's not a lot of people. I've spoken to one guy, one episode, which I think was great. And that's Dad's Moving Forward. If you haven't, he's great, DSV. And we've talked about what happens for life after you divorce. Nobody goes to the guys. What do? But we happen to have somebody with us this week who's written a book about this. Two, actually, I think. Hold on. Let me do it. That's one. That's another. It's a lot of writing. I've been trying to write my epic novel, and I can't get past the first one. My man wrote two. Let's bring our man in here. Let's bring in Jeremy Siegel. How you doing today, sir?
I'm well, Harvey. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for talking with me about a subject that clearly you know a lot about. And I'm going to put these back up here and we'll talk about these books at the end here. Let me go center. There we go. After the divorce, where did you? I never get this down. I'm saying one thing, but I'm lifting the roller up so bad.
It happens. No worries.
But either way, you've written books about something that really isn't spoken about a lot. Typically, you know, the wife, there's a divorce and the mom has moved on. She's got the kids. It's alimony and the guy loses all this money and all this stuff. But there's rarely ever talk about, okay, I was married for 12 years and now we're done. I used to see my kids every day and now I don't. I used to have a house and we lived together and used to put up the Christmas tree and have Thanksgiving dinner and all these things. And now all this stuff is gone. What am I now? I'm not a husband anymore. And I question whether I was a good father. You have a lot of these issues that come up. What is it like after divorce? So before we dive into that, one of my favorite parts of this podcast is the infamous bio. I print out a nice bio. I like to read about people's successes. So allow me bask in your Jeremy-ness because this is all about you, sir. Jeremy Siegel is a coach, author, and speaker with Where the Change Happens Coaching. His lifelong curiosity about why we do what we do led him to Iowa State University in 2004, where he earned his BA, a degree in psychology. For the last 13 years, he has worked in retail sales and management, most recently as an outside sales representative. In 2018, Jeremy began his blog, Where the Change Happens, which provides readers in over 30 countries with tools to process questions about making personal development growth a consistent habit. In 2020, Jeremy self-published his first book, Where the Change Happens, which has found international success. In 2021, Jeremy enrolled in the Coaches Training Program with Accomplishment Coaching, receiving training, credentialed by the International Coaching Federation, ICF, to learn tools and core competencies to launch his coaching business, Where the Change Happens Coaching, in 2022. As a life coach and business success coach, Jeremy empowers his clients to maximize their personal and professional potential, shifting how they engage with problems and creating new awareness in service of their vision for their lives and organizations. Jeremy's education and professional experience support creating a new relationship to possibility and bring a unique and uplifting energy to relationships in and out of the workplace. Jeremy, quite the bio. What I like to say to the men that I speak to is, as great as this is, it's always the beginning. This is what you've accomplished so far, but there's so much more to come. But what's it like hearing what you've done so far?
It's that reminder that I have been on a journey and that the work is, it's accumulating. You know, it started with the idea of, you know, moving forward after divorce and continuing to step into faith and through fear, you know, realizing that these are the things I've actually been able to connect with and that people resonate with something that I thought it was just me. And it starts to become something bigger than myself. So to hear anyone read that, it's just feeling like this connection is going out that, you know, I've always dreamed about being part of.
That's excellent. That's good. And I like read, well, you've listened to podcasts, or if you have, you know why I read it, but I'll make this as an introduction. If you have never listened or watched to this podcast, welcome. Great episode for this to be your first. Jeremy and I are going to have a great conversation. If you have listened or watched, you know what I do. You know what this is. You know why prize is in the title. Prize, I think, is a great word. And four of the letters in the word represent characteristics that I think are good for men to have. So that's how this works. I have questions dealing with these words. The first letter in the word prize is P, and the first word is purpose. Reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. I'm going to ask you to answer this in maybe two ways. What do you think your purpose was before you got married? And then what is your purpose now after you've been divorced?
What a great question. My purpose before getting married, it was get a job, get a house, get married, get a house on the hill, start having kids, live the dream, live the American dream, do what you're supposed to do. My purpose was shrinking, it felt like, do what other people said, that outside sources had a better idea of what was meant for me. So my purpose was to seek those guidance posts, those resources, and essentially do what they said. After divorce, I mean, my journey was all about discovering purpose and meaning in my life. So from step one, it was about who am I and what is important to me? Why am I doing these things that I'm doing? And do I need to continue doing it? Is it bringing value to my life, or is it detracting and just something I used to do that's no longer serving me? And so my purpose became connecting to myself and then realizing that I'm full of passion and joy around certain areas. And as I've continued to lean into connecting with others, lean into my passion around hockey and bringing my joy into various environments, it's brought this connection and this energy to every space that I step into that I can't really describe and didn't really recognize, but I noticed that people continue resonating with it. And my purpose is to continue showing up authentically, vulnerably, and bringing that joy and sharing my purpose, because it's doing something that I don't completely see, but I'm definitely noticing.
Right at the beginning when you answered, you said dream. And I don't think it wasn't your dream. It was, you said it, because there's an American dream and then there's the dream. Yes. So getting married, the 2.5 kids, the picket fence, the dog, that's the American dream.
Yeah.
If you can step back, was it your dream to have that family in that fashion, wife, kids, to do it that particular way? Was that what you wanted, or is that what you expected, or what you knew you were expected to do?
It's what I felt I was expected to do. It wasn't what I wanted, but the environment that I was in encouraged this process and these steps to play out after going to college. I was the last member of my group of friends to get married. And I literally thought, well, I guess it's my turn. I'm up. And it wasn't really a good place to start. There was lots of good that was there, but it's just, it didn't start from what I wanted. It started with, what are others doing around me? What should I be doing? And then falling in line and then recognizing, holy crap, this is not where I want to be. This isn't what I envisioned. I haven't even talked about any of this. And that's when I started noticing gaps in my own values and my relationship with my ex. And as we started to talk about it, that's when I started to really notice that there was a divide. And it was just the process from there, which we can go into, sure.
Yeah. As I hear you talk, what we have right now, we're in this age where there's a lot of, and women have this thing too. They deal with this. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what's life supposed to be. Well, we have a lot of women who are like, listen, I don't even want to get married. And people like, fine, but the whole concept, I don't want to have kids. People don't know how to handle women who say they don't want to procreate and have kids. And you're supposed to have kids. That's what you're supposed to do. You're going to be a mother. And this idea of women saying, no, I don't think so. And there's a lot of famous women and not famous women who've just decided, I'm content with it just being me. And so this idea of men deciding that maybe I don't want to get married and have to provide for this family, maybe that's not my path. Maybe I'm not meant to go to the office 9 to 5 and do whatever. Maybe I'm going to be a sculptor and maybe I'm going to do my own thing. And I don't need to follow the American dream or whatever dream you can have. So obviously it feels like after the divorce, you're really like, wow, okay. So how do you handle that? You realize this marriage wasn't meant for me. This is not the thing. This is not what I was supposed to do. Is it daunting? Is it refreshing? How after this divorce and you, because now it's me. Do you really take a look at yourself? And what's that first feel after you realize now it's just me?
Well, initially, freedom. I can do whatever the hell I want. No one's telling me no. Like, whatever my ex said I couldn't do was what I'm doing. You said, don't spend money on this. I'm going big. Let's go. Like, I'm having a good time. You said, like, save your money. Like, hey, shots on me. You know, but I recognize, like, that wasn't how I wanted to live. And that wasn't where I wanted to be moving forward from. You know, you get the wild oats out, you know, the wings of freedom. But I wanted to be in a relationship. And I ended up dating someone else maybe, I'm not quite certain how long, much longer later. But in that relationship post-divorce is when I started to notice repeating patterns, repeating concerns. And I started getting into personal development at that time. And that's when I started asking myself, like, wait a minute, what am I bringing to this? Like, what am I missing? What can I shift? And my ex at the time started having conversations around, you know, these sorts of areas, these gaps. And I started to recognize, okay, there is something I can do to stand for here. I don't know. I got in my head there for a second, just thinking about, you know, what it was like, but you know, it was worthwhile to have these conversations right. You know, at the end of the day and say, I'm the repeating pattern here. I'm not happy. I'm drawing the line. What do I need to do? Where do I need to go to stretch my comfort zone, pull myself out of this routine community of, you know, there's not a lot of opportunity living in Des Moines, Iowa, where I was at the time. I wanted a new job. I wanted a new experience. My friends were all having kids at this point. It's like, shake the system, move somewhere else and see what you're made of, and specifically design steps to figure out these areas where you feel like there's gaps or that something might be missing. Maybe I'm just not recognizing, or I haven't had the opportunity to actually lean in and do something about it unencumbered that I wanted to do.
I hear that. I feel like this kind of flows into the next letter. The next letter is R. The word is resilience. The capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and toughness. So divorce, freedom, which sounds like that kind of makes sense. And if you coming from a relationship that wasn't the best, getting out of it or leaving, it does feel like freedom. Like the, you know, we talk about the chains or the ball and chain that is the wife and whatever. So now you're away and everything that you said, and then I feel like I'd be the same. Like, you know what? I always wanted to get this beer pong table, but she said I couldn't. That's literally, I'm leaving court. I'm getting somebody to build me one. Like that way, all the stuff I wanted to do, but that seems like temporary. And I feel like I'm just kind of dealing with maybe the pain or the disappointment of this. what's like the next emotion after you get past that? How, and we're going back to resilience. So you're dealing with something that happened and it's not great. What did you gain from it? How did you become a better person? What specifically, if there's a moment that clicked with you, you say, you know what? I'll be better because of this.
It started when my mother passed. It was at the time where I was recognizing repeating issues. And I recognized that life was never going to be long enough. I was never going to have enough time with my mother. She was never going to live long enough in on this earth. And if this is the case, then what can I do with the time that I have now? Because I might be feeling these ways, but today is it. Tomorrow is not promised. So to begin that process of recovering, it's messy. It's throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. It's trying new exercises. For me, it was listening to podcasts about that recovery process. It was learning about meditation and mindfulness, and noticing where I was being distracted and stressed out, and how to be able to bring my focus into center and find a place of calm and peace for myself. And it was about engaging with my relationship with myself and really developing that relationship through journaling and saying, what is it that I really feel? What am I afraid to say? What am I, take off the filter, put it on the paper. No one's reading this. This is you. Let's get real and let's be with that. And just this process of feeling supported and through the community of personal development and podcast, and having the opportunity to relocate to South Florida, it was the perfect opportunity to stretch my comfort zone, to step into a new environment with new people in a new community, to reinvent myself and to see when it sails, but also, what do I really value and what's meaningful to me? Where can I have that? And why not try to figure that out here in the state of Florida? And it was just a process of going out, meeting people and saying, you know what? I had Iowa Wild AHL season tickets. My ex in Des Moines said, I don't want you, you know, you should switch your seats. You should pay less money. You should go to less games. I'm like, I grew up playing hockey. Hockey is part of my gem, part of my identity, part of who I am. I'm getting season tickets for the Florida Panthers. I'm going hard. And I was there. And so as I was having these experiences with people in the community that I wasn't really getting along with, it wasn't what I thought I was expecting to happen. It's like, lean into what you're passionate about then. If all you like is hockey and concerts, prioritize that. Let's work on the budget and let's go. Let's do what we said that we're going to do at work and focus on this process and connect with other people. And then it became, how can I help stores be successful? How can I help this new store be successful? And getting out of it being about me is how, where the change happens. The blog really started to expand.
All right. Well, you mentioned it. Let's get into it. So there is, as men, we aren't the most expressive in terms of our emotions, in terms of what we're going through, in terms of situations. It's not inherent in us, I think. It's something that I think has to happen. Something's got to kick us. We get kicked in the ass so that we can do it, to be vulnerable and to even be vulnerable with yourself. Because even you talking about journaling, writing it down, putting some stuff on paper for no one else to see but you, it's still difficult. Sometimes reading back. And I suggest, man, for me, I call it mindful writing. The idea of journaling and writing it down and then reading it back is sometimes you're going to have to read what you've written and realize that in some situations, you were the problem. There's nothing like reading back and like, wow, that was me. I would like to blame everybody else for the stuff, but there's nothing like, I can't get mad at me. I said it. There was no reason for me to say, I wrote this down. I was the problem. And that's not to say that we're always the problem, but we have to acknowledge that sometimes we are. I really like the whole journaling thing. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Also, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You got me on that point of personal accountability of what did I bring to the table? What did I bring to this relationship? What did I do? What did I say? And own it. Damn it. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. I wish I had not gone to that place. I wish I had answered. Wish. It's whatever.
Right. But yeah. And we can wish, but the good thing about it is that we can see it and we can grow from it. And we can be better. And sometimes it takes a traumatic experience, in case maybe divorce it is, or the passing with somebody. And then to actually have to face ourselves I can face a whole lot of people. I'm probably my harshest critic. And sometimes I don't want to face me. And every time I write something down and go back, I'm facing me. And it's hard to do. And on a side note, I'm a hockey fan as well. We were talking about this before. I live in Florida too, pretty close. We need to talk about it afterwards. I grew up in New York. I'm a Rangers fan. And, you know, so far, so good. We're looking good for the season as we record. We'll see what happens in a few months when this actually drops. But I understand that. I am a Black kid who loved hockey. And to be honest, I didn't have that many people to talk to about that who looked like me. Because I grew up in Long Island. That's New York. We either Rangers or Islanders fans. Nobody cared about the Sabres. We were Rangers, Islanders. Hell, we had the Devils. Nobody cared about the Devils. But they had a nice little run where they won a few Stanley Cups. So I had to hear about that forever. But that resonates with me with having an interest. For a while, I had to hide it because I didn't feel comfortable just being myself. And I think with what you do, with in terms of the books, coming out of a situation and being yourself, it's so eye-opening and it's so important. I'm going to skip I because I want to get to Z, and I think I know what it is, but we're going to do it. Zeal is enthusiastic devotion, and that is something that is for you. What do you do for you, not for partner, spouse, kids, best friend, anybody? The thing that you do for you when life is rough, when you need to step out and just relax. And while we recognize stress doesn't go away, but we can minimize it for a little while. What do you do for you to feel better about that?
You know, it's interesting that you ask. One of the things I recently have done, I started playing my guitar. If I'm in a crap mood, I'm feeling some kind of way, playing how I feel, and I get into this state of flow where I'm jamming. I catch a riff and I'm like, what is going on here? but it shakes me out. Like I was dating someone a few weeks ago and we went out for drinks, and right when we're about to leave, she's like, I'm not in a place where I can open up my heart and really lean into this relationship. And I'm like, damn it. Everything is like, would be clicking here. And I was disappointed.
Right.
Came home and I grabbed my guitar. I'm like, what a great time to record what's going on and how I feel, because I have this creative part of me that likes to record music and express myself. And it's part of a project that I'll be working on later. So it's part of my catharsis of resolving the energy where I'm at, but also using this emotion and this experience for a purpose in the future that I think can connect everybody around relationship and disappointment. So for me, it was about just jamming and just feeling the chords, the vibrations, the music connecting to my guitars. Last night I came home, I grabbed my bass and I'm just, doodling around. I'm like, I'll play as long as I feel. You know what? I'm going to grab a different one. I'm going to grab my electric and I just start. So that's one of those great things that I do that really connects me to center me. But another thing that I really enjoy doing that also stretches me and provides some value physically is going for long runs. You know, if I'm feeling some kind of way, just zoning out, finding a trail, I like to distance run. And so just finding myself in rhythm, running, breathing, and just connecting with myself and my body, it brings me back into just connection and relationship with myself.
That's cool. What kind of music did you listen to growing up? Or what do you listen to now?
I mean, I listen to all sorts. I mean, I grew up outside of Chicago, so I grew up to hip hop and R&B. Living in Iowa, I listened to country music as well, too. I listened to Green Day growing up. So rock, metal, country, electronic, dance. I listen to pretty much everything. So I record versions of all of that because it's integrated and part of me.
It's cool. Excellent. That's good. I wish I could play an instrument. I mean, I took piano lessons for maybe a few months. I wasn't that guy. And now I regret it. I regret it because I listen to music and I love jazz, obviously hip hop. I love rock. I started off, I'm an 80s kid, molded in New York, grew up in 74. I was born in 74. So the 80s is just my favorite decade. So it's hair rock, hair rock. It's Def Leppard.
Right.
It's all that stuff that I love. And I wish there's some great piano in there, but I agree with you. In terms of music, while I can't play it, I'm very much headphones, turn off the lights. I love jazz. Miles Davis, put that on. I appreciate it. And just kind of sail away from whatever you're listening to. And sometimes life kicks your ass, and sometimes I need to get away from it for a minute, right? So I understand. I wish I could play my that would be so interesting to be able to play my pain or something, or but you know, but I respect
it. It'd never be too late. You grab a piano and you hit one key as hard as you feel. There it is. Hey, that's today's music.
Okay, that's not the old one. Okay, I'm gonna think about that. I may have to go pick up a little synthesizer, play a little something, and see what comes out. You never know. Might be a hit. Who knows? Hey,
absolutely.
The last letter in the word prize. I'm saying after we're done. I don't know. So I've got something to play.
E. There we go. Yeah.
Expectation. A strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. I just got divorced. This is just a random person. I just got divorced. I don't know exactly how I feel about that. And I am lucky and happy enough that, you know, that I find this. What can I expect from reading this after going through somewhat of a traumatic and still going through a traumatic situation?
Yeah, you can find exercises to implement, to practice, to start to reengage and reconnect with yourself. As I had mentioned, my journey had been, you'll find stories of that journey of the beginning, recognizing like it's not quite working out of, you know, where do you want to go, and finding this a human that's relatable. It's not trying to be something. This book, Where the Change Happens, was written by me, inspired by books that I've read. I didn't have lots of help from this, that, or the other. It was just putting my passion and my heart into what the experience was and sharing it with people in the hopes that they would connect or get something that they can take forward to begin a process forward for their life journey, and to start to recognize there is something that they can do and feel inspired and uplifted by this journey. So,
okay. Did this marriage that for whatever reason didn't work out, are you adverse to marrying again?
No.
Okay. So you still have a positive view of marriage?
I do. Yes. Yeah, and I was great. Actually I was with someone a couple ago, and they asked that very question, and I was like, yeah, I would get married. Like, I don't know if I would, but another part of the conversation, they're like, how are you still single? Like, how are you not dating anyone or taken? I'm like, you don't understand. This is all of the years after that divorce, the work that I've done, what you're seeing that you want to connect to. This is the result of that journey and that work. This isn't like I just was always this guy. It's owning stuff. It's stretching my comfort zone. It's trying and failing and getting up and going out again.
Okay. What's different about this guy as opposed to the guy before?
I have something I stand for. I have a mission. I have a purpose to connect with the world, to bring joy and to help support the conversation around creating a life that is meaningful to people, that has purpose, that isn't this, I get to choose to feel empowered for the opportunity that you've created. Why shy away from something? Why shy away from anything if that is what you want? That is what this is all about.
I like that. I'm trying to, you said a lot there. Is there, when the time comes when you will end up being married again, do you have different expectations for whom you will connect with in a marriage than you did before? And if you do you, because you're talking about you, but when you change yourself, you obviously change what you want and expect from who you're going to be with. Has that changed? Do you know it? And what is it, if you think?
I think it's having more vulnerable conversations around expectations, around gender roles, especially now, you know, in today's climate of how people feel certain ways about who's doing what and what should be done. But talking about our life experience, where we've come from, what our vision is for the future, and what we want to create moving forward, having those forward conversations, versus just showing up, you know, meeting at a bar and you're like, oh, we get along and hang out, and then you just kind of keep seeing each other. It's like, do we align on a common mission or a vision, or can we support each other on that journey of whatever it is that each of us are engaged with, pursuing, or moving forward with. So it's really just, you know, that starting place for relationships. And yeah, it's interesting because I've had these conversations, and it's interesting seeing the response on the other side, like, it's like, it's okay. If this isn't where you need to be, or if this isn't what you feel, I'm totally fine with that. I don't have an expectation of you have to this or any of that. I'm present and with you.
I like this. I don't know, apprehension is the word, but a discussion about something like this is hard. And when you're helping, it's interesting. When you're talking about it and it's you, there's more to it, because it's still there. You're never going to get away from that. At least for me, I think if I were to get divorced, I've been married 15 years. And if it didn't work out, I can't really tell you how I would feel about it, but to a degree, I would know that I had a hand in it. And I think that's what would stick with me, is that even if it was like her fault and she cheated and I decided I couldn't do it, I think deep in the back of my mind, I would be like, you know what? What did I do to push her away? I would have these things. I would have these feelings, these thoughts, doubts. What do you say to somebody who's divorced? And maybe the fact that marriage didn't work is why they haven't stepped out to try again.
Sorry, I didn't follow the question. Why?
I got married. I got divorced. Now I don't have anybody. Mm-hmm. And they're not dating. They're not looking at, they're not trying to start relationships. They're not dating, sure, or doing anything. And it's because of that marriage, because it didn't work out. Now they fear that maybe they're not good enough to be in a relationship with somebody. What would you say to somebody who has those thoughts?
If you think you can, if you think you can't, you're right. If you think you're not good enough, you're not going to be good enough. And you're going to walk around in this context, weighing yourself down with your own self-doubt. If there's no one there telling you these things, making you feel this way, and you're the only one who's present, notice that you are the one who's there and this conversation is going on in your mind. That mind chatter can pull you out of your essence, out of your grounded nature, and take you to a cycle of overwhelm and some shit that does not serve you, that you just spiral on. And if you cannot get out of that spiral, it can repeat and cycle and cycle and cycle. And if there's no support, it can become, in my opinion, a dangerous situation, because who knows what can happen when people are not in a good place mentally. So having that support, recognizing where to pull yourself out, for myself, it's, you know, naming survival mechanisms, giving it a name of this version of myself is feeling this kind of way. Oh, the unloved care bear is showing up. He's, woe is me again. Oh, well, okay. That's not me, you know, and just moving forward from that place of just, yeah, it's noticing these triggers, noticing that cycle of overwhelm, noticing that chatter. But if you don't know how to stop the chatter, like, what do you do? And I think that is where there's a lot of value in asking for support and just speaking up to someone and saying, hey, this is what's going on. Like, can you hear me out for a moment? Or writing it down.
Or writing it down. You're right. And that's a big deal for us as men. It's not our thing and we have to do it. I spend a lot of time pushing that. You got to talk to somebody. We got to express what's going on. We can't, yes, hold on to it. It does a disservice to you when you don't release it, because then eventually we're toxic. And that's when things happen that need not happen. When we act out emotions, yeah, that we haven't resolved, that have been sitting there for a long time.
You're holding that energy in. Yeah. It's not serving your vibration to be uplifted and excited. It's weighing you down. And life, this is our opportunity. This is our time.
There you go. I feel you. I agree. And I got to say, and life is never going to be long enough, is maybe you said that. I absolutely love that. And I haven't heard that before. And it really resonated with me. For the work that you do, obviously we're talking about after divorce because of these books, but this isn't all that you do. So you deal with life and music. So can you talk about what you do in terms of businesses and people and help, and how you help people in general?
Yeah. So, you know, starting off, you know, this entire journey working in retail sales, it started with me developing communication skills, getting people to buy in, wanting to work for me, wanting to do what I was asking them to, noticing that initially I was having difficulty with that. I started doing some work on communication, on leadership, and working with teams on developing their skills and recognizing the value of what's important to the people that I'm working with, that even if it's outside of the workplace, supporting them to achieve that would bring more motivation and energy into the workplace while they were there to support what we were working on, because they knew I had their back at the end of the day. So creating these situations and environments where if something is important to someone else, being with them on that journey to really cultivate that idea, to take action on it, move forward, to actually implement it, to take it from a possibility or an idea to a probability that this is going to happen in your reality, that you're going to face this. You know, also being in the workplace, not having the strongest relationships to start off, you know, wanting to develop relationships in multiple locations. You know, my journey was, how do I get to support other? And it's just working with multiple locations of, you know, team building of what can we bring people together? Because at the end of the day, it's about training, about communication, and not taking things personally and getting things stuck on you. And I feel that that will ultimately lead to developing culture in the workplace as it expands, with everyone feeling empowered, seen, and really uplifted. It just brings the synergistic opportunity that really lifts other places up. So, yeah, that is one of the areas that, you know, I work with people directly when it comes to starting businesses. I've worked with a couple of business owners who are saying, like, I want to do this, or I want to start that, or I don't know how to, something that they don't know how to do or don't feel confident about. You know, work walking with them on that journey to, you know, from I don't know how to network to all of a sudden they're going out and they're meeting people, they're connecting to this part of the community. Now they're leaning into relationships and they're showing up and not shying away. It's incredible seeing, you know, these sorts of transformations with people. But really one of the things that I'm focusing on this year is business leadership and management, and just the things that I've noticed in the 13, 14 years now of my experience in multiple states. I'm working in retail sales and now also working at places like Climate Pledge Arena and Lumen Field and their guest services department, supporting developing staff culture. You know, that's how I view, you know, my part of, you know, supporting guest services in any of these, you know, areas. It's connecting with people. And I love that opportunity because it's breaking down like what people are walking in with, but also uplifting people with being able to engage with the unknown of people coming through the doors, whatever environment that it is or whatever relationship. So I feel like it just all comes back to relationships, to connecting with other people, to working together, teamwork, not taking things personally, you know, being defensive, and really how that could start to spiral the culture of the workplace off of the purpose or the vision at the end of the day. So it's a little bit messy of what I just said there, but, you know, at the end of the day, again, it's all about relationships, connecting with others and uplifting each other to create something incredible together.
Honestly, in a few ways, it really sounds like talking about marriage. It honestly feels like building, talking, being able in little things like being able to talk to somebody and not taking everything they say personal, and being able to build and being better socially. And, you know, I might be an introvert now, but the more time I spend with somebody to get more comfortable, I can step out and meet people and do things. Relationships are incredibly important in everything. I mean, I've done sales for a little while and it's always been said, a good salesman isn't entirely selling the product. He's selling himself or herself. When you like me, you'll buy what I'm selling. So making somebody comfortable in their environment, which it sounds like what you do, is making them better. And when you're better, then you connect better with the people around you. And then when everybody's connected and we do our job better together, and then we're a better team, then we're going to grow and we're going to make more money and we're going to do all these things. And it all starts with being able to talk with somebody.
Think about that impact as it permeates through the community. As each of these people go from the workplace, they go to the grocery store, they're at their barber shop, they're talking to someone else in another industry, they're networking themselves, and they came across this whatever idea, experience that they just have to share. It's that pay it forward that continues to expand, that each one reach one, each one teach one.
Okay, good point. I like what you do. And I think, and obviously it's something you do for businesses, but it's, you're really helping people at the forefront. And then by extension, you help these groups and our community and our world. So it's wonderful to hear. The last letter for prize. It is I, and it doesn't represent a word. It represents you, Jeremy. So when we take out the titles, so ex-husband, entrepreneur, author, all these things that you've done, all that stuff is put aside. It's just you at your core. Who are you?
I'm love. I am passion and play. I'm a catalyst. I'm audacious. I'm just full of passion and joy.
I like that. I like that. And it's obvious when you talk about anything that when you get into something, I could feel it. It's coming through, and I appreciate that. And those people like that with that kind of energy, that kind of charisma, you attract people. You attract that people like that, and you can expect that with people who are around. So it is nice to see. Thanks for answering the questions in the prize mantra. I have two more questions. One, what are you afraid of that you can not control?
Whether someone will or will not date me or accept who I am.
I like that. Simple. Base. Simple to the point. What can you, what are you afraid of that you can control?
If this, my business being successful, my business connecting to people in the way that I declared it would, that is meaningful. I can control that.
So as an entrepreneur, and obviously it's, you are one, I guess you do your own thing. Speaking to them, my business succeeding or not succeeding, for me making the money, for having the success I expect to have, is that something that you're saying I am in complete control of?
Absolutely. Because someone might say, yeah, I want to work with you. I might not want to work with you. That the opportunity is, if they don't want to work with you, okay. There's someone out there who does want to work with you. What are you going to do to continue working towards the yes? Because every no leads to a yes. It's just a matter of how many no's you need to go through. And you don't know how many no's you need to go through until you're going through a ton of no's. And if you have a purpose that you connect with and you are full, this doesn't work. This is my purpose. This is what I have to do. No. Okay. Thanks. On to the next, because I'm here for the yes people.
I like that. I like that. For the yes people. You're here for the yes people. I love these. All right. That was it. I think that was the last question. Okay. One more, because it always usually comes up. I ask you what you do for yourself. That's zero. The other thing I ask men, because it's important, the word that it's really come up with this season for me is community. Mm-hmm. Do you have a friend right now who is not family, that's not work related, that you could call to say I did something thoroughly dumb, some ignorant kind of ish right now?
Yes.
Do you have a friend you could talk to who could listen to you, would mess with you, would joke with you, but you feel safe saying I did this? You have that kind of?
I do.
You have several. Oh, that's good.
Several. Yes, I do.
That is awesome. That is awesome. There's a lot of us who don't have that. We're in this lonely age right now of men, loneliness in men who don't have friends, who don't leave their house, who are in their grandmother's basement, who are just playing video games, who are not socializing. And a lot of them, a lot of their problems is that they're going through things that you and I are going through. They just have no one to talk about it with.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have several is phenomenal.
I'm fortunate.
That's good. That's wonderful. Jeremy, this was a fun conversation. Thank you so much for opening up and talking about this. And I know this is not the easiest subject to talk about. It's not the most fun, but being able to talk about it, being able to kind of even step back into it and understand how you were before and how it's affected the man that you've become today. It's a great conversation and I appreciate you doing it. So as a reminder, not one, but two, feel free. Where can our guests, what, not Mike, to try that again. Where can my listeners find you?
Yes. Yes. So if you want to connect directly on LinkedIn, you can find me, Jeremy Stiegel on LinkedIn. On Instagram, you can find me at Where the Change Happens Coaching. on YouTube, also at Where the Change Happens Coaching. I'm starting to upload some content, some of the live stuff that I've done to share with the community to continue to share what's put out there. The website, wherethechangehappens.com. Please visit to learn more about Where the Change Happens Coaching. The articles I've written since 2017, 2018, detailing the journey. I continue to write periodically. The goal is about once a month that I'm working on. But yeah, wherethechangehappens.com, Instagram, YouTube, Where the Change Happens Coaching, and on LinkedIn, Jeremy Stiegel. Love to connect.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. All the information he gave, in case you didn't get to write it down. Oh, go ahead. One more.
I forgot one more thing. Of course, where can you find the books, right? So
I didn't say that. That was my fault. That was my bad.
No.
Let's rewind. Hey, Jeremy, where can we find the books?
Absolutely. You can find both of my books on Amazon.com. Where the Change Happens is available, bestseller, top 500 in divorce currently. The second book, After the Divorce, From Looking Back to Leaning In. It's a fiction parable of a story of an individual going through the experience of divorce. It's recognizing shit's hitting the fan, trying to figure out what's going on at work, not getting anything started, but the support that a life coach can bring to your journey to move forward to create that transformational experience. After the Divorce, From Looking Back to Leaning In is that story. Where the Change Happens is a what I did, what can work for you that you can try to begin your journey forward to creating a life of purpose and meaning.
Fantastic. Sorry about that. I was supposed to, but you know, like I said, all that information will be in. I'll put the links in for the book so you can pick them up. I have quite the hectic life. I've had these books. I can honestly tell you, because we talked beforehand, and this one I found really interesting. The fact that it's, you know, that's fiction based, I'm interested to read this one. And if these kids ever leave me alone, I'm gonna read them.
I hired a writing coach to support writing dialogue. I went hard on making sure that this book was going to show up authentically. It was going to read, it's going to be smooth. It's legit. I hired a writing coach who worked with over 300 writers. I put a lot of heart and passion into After the Divorce, From Looking Back to Leaning In. It is a story that has actionable exercises in the coaching scenarios in that story that you can apply to yourself if you choose to read the book, but is also entertaining. Is jokes, is humor. There's lots of movement and visuals that I'm really proud of. So I think that readers in your audience would enjoy reading this book.
Okay. I want to make sure they have the opportunity to read it. Like I said, the links will be in the episode notes. Jeremy, thank you for your time. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thanks for your openness. This was a great conversation. I will leave this. I will put you back here. And everyone, thank you for listening, watching. Another great episode. I'm lucky I am to speak to Jeremy here. When I talk to people, I always feel like there's something I gain. There's a line or something for me. And I said it before and I love it. Life is never going to be long enough. What I take from that is whatever you want to do, it's time to get started. Whatever business you wanted to start, it's time to start it now. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about next week. You don't know about next quarter. What you do know is that right now you've got that passion, that desire to do something now. So let's do something now. Let's get started. That also leans into what I say and how I end every episode, life. We have a lot of men who are making bad decisions, who are deciding that life isn't worth living, and they're leaving us. And I want to tell you that it's the wrong decision. We need you. There's somebody waiting for you to talk to them. There's somebody waiting for you to listen to them. There's somebody who's ready to laugh, cry, joust, disagree, debate, anything with you. So you got to show up. So you got to be here. We want the people who want to live. And that's got to be you. We want the yes people. And you're saying yes to living. I stole that from Jeremy. Thank you. We want the yes people. We want the people who want to live. Life is never going to be long. So take advantage of what you can do today, because you are awesome. You are a great man. And you're the prize. I'll see you next week.